This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
We bring in the best guest of all time here on the K. Show, the Hall of Famer, Steve Young. Steve, how are you?
Yeah. Michael, how are you doing, buddy?
We're doing okay. Now, we start off not with the games yesterday. I need you to tell us, because there's big rumors in New York that Joe Douglas would be going after Doug Peterson, their previous connection in Philadelphia. Is, in your opinion, is Peterson a great coach?
Doug's a great guy. And that's
I'm a great guy, but I'm not a great coach.
Well, but players today, more than ever, because of the nature of their expectations for partnership between coach and management and players, which 20 years ago wasn't the case, especially 40, but even 20. And now there need to be partnership. And so coaches have to create that sense of partnership, and Doug will do that. What I worry about is in the league, we talk about the guys that are in the playoffs that are succeeding, and I'm going to include a Kyle Shanahan in here. I'm going to include Kingsbury, guys that are, at the doorstep or obviously the floor, who's a number one seed. These young, offensive-minded, creative, innovative head coaches in an era of NFL football that is dominated by offense. Regardless of what you say, the rules are set for offense to dominate. You need somebody that can be that guy. Now, if you find a defensive coordinator out there that you really love and can do the once-in-a-generation Pete Carroll thing or Mike Tomlin thing, fine. Or Bill Belichick. I mean, there's a couple of guys that have thrived from the defensive coordinator spot, but in this game today, I think it's even more difficult to go from a standing start to be a defensive coordinator and thrive as a head coach. So find that young guy. We've seen Doug. What I'm worried about is that he had, to me, you have to say, is it Carson Wentz's problem or is it Doug's problem? Because it's one or the other, or a combination. And I kind of blame Doug. I kind of feel like Doug didn't have the capability of holding that relationship, and that worries me. That worries me about being that young, off of the Super Bowl. I was like, Doug's the man. He's that guy, just like LaFleur, like Andy Reid, like Kingsbury, like McVay, like Shanahan, like, just go around the league. Young guys that are thriving. And now I wonder about that. And so that's my concern, is that he's not that guy.
Well, the Jets might be a moot point at this point because Sal Palantonio is reporting Peterson will take a little time away to think about his future and whether he wants to coach in 2021. So he may not be available to the Jets.
A little time could be a day.
Well, whether he wants to coach in 2020, he's going to take a little time to decide. He may decide, I don't want to coach in 2021. I don't know.
Right, but that means nothing.
Okay.
It's just, it's just saying something that, okay, fine, whatever. But I think Doug's going to want to coach, and he's going to look for the right place. And I just feel that I want the Jets with either Sam Darnold or, Fields or whoever they end up with, Zach Wilson. I want a young, I want the Jets to have that generational coach that speaks to 2020. And I don't know if they're out there. I'm sure they are. There can't be, a dearth of them. And that's why I want the Jets to go for.
How shocked were you by what happened in Pittsburgh?
I mean, super shocked and super not shocked, right? Because something's wrong. I guess we look back, I'm more shocked at the 11-0, right? Looking at the whole totality of the whole situation, how in the world did that team get to 11-0? Because that's not a very good team. Like, it was Booger McFarland on the show a couple weeks ago. It's like, they're soft. They call the Pittsburgh Steelers soft. Offensive line, defensive line, soft. And it's like, if you get people commenting like that about the Steelers, and then Ben, 4 years ago said, I'm not sure I really want to play, and then he comes back, and he thrives. Like, he threw for 500 yards yesterday. But the game was gone. And so you just, to me, Pittsburgh, they had the greatest talent, Le'Veon Bell. They had the triplets that the Cowboys had in the early 90s. They should have dominated, and they couldn't We knew that these we know that those personalities are a little tough, but where is the ability to be artistic and athletic, to work with great talent, hold them, and Ben, you run the show. There's just something's amiss with that locker room. Something's amiss with that team. That team's underperforming to its abilities for a long time. And I think at the end of the day, it starts from the owner. It starts from the coach. It's all that. And I thought it was – yesterday was shocking in how bad it was, but not shocking that they got beat.
Steve, I was shocked to see the schemes from my Washington football team on Saturday. What did you think of what Jack Del Rio dialed up or didn't dial up against Tom Brady?
It felt like they, you know, I expected much more pressure, right? I expected much more under siege feeling because that was the hope they had. Who knew that Heineke was going to actually play a decent game, actually almost out-duel Tom?
Right.
What you got from the offense?
Right.
You told me you had 23 points from the Washington offense, legit points.
Right.
We're taking this ball game.
Yes.
And they kind of cruised to Tom taking the ball. To your point, I completely agree. I said last week I thought they were the best defense in the league, and they did not. I don't think they were unleashed to at least provide that kind of a ball game. Go all in, right? You might get Tom might beat you on a blitz. He might, you know, he might come up with something, but like put the pressure on, especially if you got some points coming on the other side. Remember, I thought you had to have a punt return and a pick six, and you know that's how you're going to stay in this ball game. With 23 legit points, man, that's sad. Sad that defense couldn't do more.
Let's talk about Russell Wilson. So they lose to the Rams. Rams defense is suffocatingly good. But after 8 weeks of the season, Steve, everybody's talking about, well, this is the year Russell Wilson finally wins the MVP. Never got a vote before. Well, Steve, he's not going to get a vote this year. He fell off a cliff. So what happened?
To me, there's no that makes no sense, especially with DK. It used to be they didn't have dominant receivers and a runner, and protection was a problem. Remember, a couple years ago, protection was a problem. Protection's decent. They got a big time DK Metcalf now. They've got the runner back. Carson came back at the end of the year. I thought that was going to be the difference maker, and they'd actually play really well. And so you can't blame offensive coordinators. You can't blame Pete. It really does rest on Russell, and it makes I actually need some time on this one. I don't want to overstate it because it makes that one. Pittsburgh made sense to me, even though it was shocking how bad. This one makes very little sense to me, and I got to kind of unwrap it a little bit.
I want to pick your brain on this because I don't know if Jerry Rice ever did this. So a quarter into the game, DK Metcalf in an empty stadium is screaming that he's not getting the ball. Then Russell Wilson tries to force it and gets a pick six. Are you intimidated by Diva wide receivers? Did Jerry Rice ever do that? Do you have to just block it out and say, listen, I'm going to do what I want to do. Shut up.
If you have good players, almost play every play, someone's going to come back and tell you they're open. There's different ways to do it. You know, someone might imagine, hey, bro, you know, I was open on that one. Or someone might say, turn to the lineman and go, can you believe how open I was there? Like, you know, the passive-aggressive deal. You know, or someone might come right to your face and say, if you don't, you know, I'm wide open, why don't you see me? Like, it comes in all forms, but it's all the time. There's not diva wide receivers.
Right.
It's like, this guy's just like, I'm open. Brent Jones, my best friend for 14 years in the league. I mean, 15 times a game, bro, I'm open. Why? Where you're not looking at me. Then I watched the film the next day, and I'm like, it's not, what do you mean you're open? What are you like looking at? Yeah, you're open to the sky. Yeah, the sky is open, but nothing horizontally, vertically. Yeah, you can look up in the sky, you're wide open, but there's five guys around you. What are you talking about? So you just have to, that's, to me, one of the biggest challenges in quarterback, especially in the NFL with guys making money and making a career of it. You have to manage. You have to manage all those and forcing it to them. At some point, you have to be able to say to Brent Jones and Jerry Rice and John Taylor, you're on ice. That's not how this is going down. And so a quarter of ice or a quarter and a half of ice, and people, receivers are like, ooh. I guess the
really?
Ball isn't there.
You would do that.
Well, no, you have to manage. There's different ways to manage it. That's the ultimate weapon, right? But it's also, who to yell at? who to kind of let them vent. Like, you don't have to overreact. Some guys, you know, it's all different. I mean, I could scream at Brent, but I couldn't scream back at Jerry. Jerry, that's not how that went well. So, you know, you if you think that you can just be a battering ram, that's foolishness. There's only one guy that I know that would play like that. It was a batting ram kind of guy. That's Dan. Dan Marino he wouldn't give an inch to anybody, and he would thrive that way. But most of us have to be a little bit more artistic.
But football's weird, right, Steve? Like, you know, if you look at those Giant teams, right? Listen, Eli was a better quarterback after Tiki and Shockey left. You know, those were both really talented players. Like, how is Cleveland better without Odell Beckham Jr.? You know how good Odell is. But how can you take that kind of talent away and a team find a way to be better?
It says more about Odell, let's be honest, and really is about the personality. There's 50 guys on a team, Don. That's a lot of guys, a lot of personalities. And when there's one dominant personality in the locker room, dominant personality out in the media, personality everywhere you go, in the warm-ups, in the game, post-game, there's one dominant guy, and he's a guy that doesn't exude that kind of all in for the, you know, look, whether it's the words he says or the action he says or just the perception, it could be something that he doesn't even know that he really controls. But in the end, it doesn't draw out the locker room. It doesn't draw out guys to go, we're in this together. We're better for it. And that's where it comes. It really is a referendum on Odell. It's not a referendum on anybody else. And that's why he needs to kind of decide what kind of leader, what kind of person he. I know he's spoken the words to be a better leader, a better representative of the team, and better locker room mate. And I just some guys it just doesn't they don't understand it. And so the fact that Cleveland's thriving without him shows that the burden that he brought from people focused on him week in and week out, and the burden he brought to the locker room. There was obviously a little bit of a relief when he's not there, despite the loss in talent, because now we can gather together more forcefully. We can, we're a team that's more, focused. We're more all for one for all, like whatever it is. And that might be just a function of how much media attention he gets, and you can't help it. But at some level, you know what you're saying, Don, is that this team is better with him on the sidelines.
I'm watching the Bills game. The Bills and the Colts, and really locked in on Josh Allen. And obviously he's a star, but you could speak to this better than most. I'm watching him, Steve. He never slides. He never goes down. He's 6'4". He stands up and gets hit all the time. Does he have to change the way he plays?
Yes. So, and he is. I know it doesn't look like it, but he is. And I think that you're going to see this – more so in the playoffs where he's not willing to slide like the thing, he's more willing to put himself at risk. He had to go win that ball game. Last year's was a fizzle in Houston. It was terrible. Right. And so he knew that's in the back of your mind. And so as a player, you're saying, I don't care what it takes. I'll ram into a brick wall 10 times, 20 times, 50 times. I can't let it go down that way again. I like that about Josh. I like that his spirit of, you know, this is on the line. One time he got stood up and he got on his knees, but he stepped. It was almost like he was trying to bite someone to death. You know, he's like the old Monty Python. And he just wouldn't give in. And someone caught him right in the chin, you know. And that's probably what you're thinking about. Because I remember thinking, Josh, bro, you can't just sit there on your knees and take shots to the face.
Right.
But I think in this playoff run and a young player, you're going to continue to see that. Because he knows this is where he can create, whether he realizes it or not, he create the perception that can last you a whole career is these wins right now. So do whatever you can, whatever it takes, put yourself at risk. But the rank and file NFL game next year, you're seeing him. He might not slide, but I agree with that. I think sliding, I took more shots to the chin sliding than anything. Just go run into somebody, go off the side, and there's easy landing spots out there in space. That you can go run into a safety or something and kind of glance off and roll and get up. And you never wonder about the spot. You never wonder whether the ref gave you because you always got bad spots in sliding. You never really put yourself at risk. Yeah, you roll and you get up. To me, Josh, that's fine. It's the X. You know when the journey's over. Emmitt Smith was famous for saying, look, you got to know when the journey's over. And he's still in the playoffs. He doesn't care when the journey's over. He's going to be gnawing at everything. But he is getting better, and he improved dramatically this year. And if he can continue to do that, I've said this before, he has all of the abilities of a Patrick Mahomes. He's just not as settled in the position to be so kind of, you know, 360 degrees settled in everything that happens on the field with such peace that you can just pick and choose and relax and just do all, you know, the full measure of who he is as a human being, as an athlete, comes out to Patrick Mahomes naturally. Josh has now had to work at this longer, and he needs 3 or 4 years to get there. But he's on the trajectory to get there. And I don't know, maybe this year is the time that he does it all at once. But, you know, it's fun to watch. And you can say to him, Michael, hey, you got to be careful. Yeah, that's great. But we're in the playoffs. I'm making a name for myself. I was the same way. I'm ramming everybody. I don't care.
If Houston's crazy enough to part ways with Deshaun Watson, what are you giving up if you're, say, the Jets?
They can't be. They cannot be. You can't.
What if he demands?
They should be locked
off.
The Houston Texans should go to the Caracas League. They got to go. They're not. You cannot have a generational talent, one of the top, I'm going to say 5, but maybe 7 or 8 quarterbacks in the league, young, and I mean, honestly, when I see Deshaun play, I'm like, this guy is really, really good. And for the next 10 to 12, 15 years, can't happen. You cannot let. There's no way.
If he's available, if you're the Jets, you'd give up everything.
100%, absolutely. If they're stupid enough to do that, 100%.
I asked this last week.
Immediately, yes. I do that yesterday. I do that today. I do that tomorrow.
I asked.
You got to be kidding me. If Deshaun Watson is available, sorry, Peter, but
no.
If Deshaun Watson. Let me be very specific here. If they let him go, I'm going to push for the Houston Texans to be. There's 31 teams in the NFL now. They have to be dissolved.
Would you?
Go ahead, Peter. Sorry,
would you? I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, Steve. I should always be listening. You're very, very wise. Should I be listening? Would you ever listen to the idea of a trade for even a number one overall pick for Deshaun Watson? In other words, is there any world in which you consider we're not going to get Lawrence? We're going to go run with Deshaun Watson.
It's so unproven today. I mean, look, we said this last week. The league today is so much easier for quarterbacks. The rules are set for quarterback success. No one patrols the middle of the field. Flats are open. Yards on the with guys, quarterbacks' legs are there's first downs galore to go get, touchdowns to go get. The game is so much better for quarterbacks. So that the difference between college and pro is less. I get that. So Trevor Lawrence, you can say for sure. But there's still an element that we're seeing with Carson Wentz, what we're seeing with Mitch Trubisky, which we're seeing even with who's in my head? Anyway, I lost it. But there's guys that have struggled that you didn't think would struggle. And I just think until with Deshaun Watson, you know what you have 100%. You cannot – why would you – if it was a straight trade is what you're asking me, Peter, a straight trade, Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, 100%. Right now,
wow.
Until Trevor plays.
Because so, you know how good Deshaun is. Right.
Yes, he is really – in 2020, the game that the NFL is today, more college-like than ever, that you have Lamar Jackson with the most sophisticated running game in NFL history, which is not the NFL game. You should not be thriving. You should be rank and file smothering people during the year, but this is not possible, but the game is so college-like, it's actually getting pulled off. Deshaun Watson is the prototype for what you want in the NFL in 2020. Trevor Lawrence, yeah, but he's not nearly as dynamic with his legs than Deshaun is. Not close. And Deshaun Watson has shown what he's going to throw the football with anybody. So, I don't know. It's not a hard one for me.
Wow.
Now, before we let you go, does Tom Brady have a chance with that team to go into New Orleans and knock off the Saints?
Oh, for sure. The defense is good, not great, but good. And Tom, if they don't knock him down, if Peter just said, if they don't knock him down, and they're going to play whatever Washington did yesterday to play patty cake and, well, you know, kind of grunt, you know, kind of, you know, roll through the game, then yeah, Tom Brady will be. Can Tom Brady beat you if he doesn't get hit around? I don't know. Let's think about the last 20 years. Come on, what are we kidding ourselves? Actually, as I think about answering that question, that was a rhetorical question. I'm not going to say it's a dumb question. I'm saying it's rhetorical.
No. You're saying it better. Steve, you're saying it better be rhetorical, or it was just dumb.
It's only out of respect for Michael that he didn't just flat out call it dumb.
But I know him so well. I know his rhetorical question.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, I personally, Steve, looked at what Goff did and said, well, that's pretty brave. I mean, I haven't had injury. I mean, this guy had injury 12 days ago, surgery, screws in his hand. I thought he played pretty well.
Michael, let me tell you, I broke the tip of my thumb, and it was 30 days to the day and with a splint and that special thing that gives the bone extra healing speed, and I played against Pittsburgh the 30th day. He broke it. They went in and pinned it, so he didn't wait the 30 days. It's not healed, right? That means that the nerves are not healed. All the stuff around it's not healed. He's got a pin in it, and he's playing in less than half of the time it takes to actually grow the bone back. And he's throwing, he's ripping balls down. Now, it wasn't pretty, but he's ripping balls down the field, and he's going and winning playoff games. I have to, as much as Jared Goff worries me, that he needs that running game and needs to be a play-action quarterback. 18, he had it. In 2019, he didn't, and it just went into the ground. That was a heroic effort because I felt my thumb in day 12, and that was a heroic effort.
Wow. Unbelievable. And their defense is pretty good, Steve. That was rhetorical.
That was a statement, right?
That was just a statement.
Yeah, that was just a statement.
So it's Michael Kay just putting the stake in the ground, which, Michael, I really appreciate. Stake in the ground means a lot.
Thank you, Steve, as always. We'll talk to you soon.
You guys are the best.
Nice, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.